Hi, listening friend. It's June 14th, 2013. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. We all enjoyed a great merged gospel class last night, and a special shout-out and kudos to Randy and Bonnie Ahrens, owners of Gibson City Meats and Deli, a new shop and deli in Gibson City, 107 South Sangamon in Gibson City, as they supplied us all with Granny Smith apples and some tasty kettle-cooked deli potato chips. What a combination. They also supplied us all with 5% off on any orders from their store or deli, and if you contact the station over the next month, we'll send you off one of these coupons. So, Jason, I have a few announcements that I want to point out for our listeners, those that were tuned in Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday for that matter, because on Monday and Tuesday, we featured Michael and Rena Himmick, and they're bringing that Agape Feast to our area a week from this Sunday. So that's going to be happening at the iHotel, and if you need more information about that, you can go to SundayAction.com, SundayAction.com, or call 855-GOD'S-DAY, 855-GOD'S-DAY. So that was a fun interview on Monday and Tuesday. And if you don't want to look up what God's Day is, it's 855-463-7329, 855-463-7329. And then on Wednesday, we had Dr. Bob Paul, and you were a part of that interview, Jason. I know at the front end of it, I was doing a lot of the talking and sharing because I've known Bob for some years, but you asked some really interesting questions about the state of marriage, and that was an interesting conversation, which is archived. That was Wednesday with Dr. Bob Paul, and he's coming to our area a week from Friday, so the 21st and 22nd, to put on a DNA of relationships at Windsor Road Christian Church, and that's located at 2501 West Windsor Road. And the evening session on Friday is 6:30 to 9:30, and then Saturday morning from 8:30 to 12:30. A $29 cost, but well worth it. And Bob Paul is the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. He's put on this workshop years ago at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, and is very capable, gifted, a Christ follower, and I think you'll enjoy the seminar. And you can find out more at windsorroad.org, windsorroad.org, or call 217-359-2122, 359-2122. Last week, Jason, we didn't have the opportunity to jump into Acts. We had a lot going on, a lot of different things to cover, and with your foot healing and still at this point healing away, we've called you up on the phone line. Are you on your big couch again?
Yeah, sitting on the big couch. Lots of books around me, and
Yeah, pretty soon there's going to be those indentations in the couch, like where your body kind of forms and you're a part of the couch.
Yeah, I think there already is. Yeah. Considering that I've been sleeping on the couch, too, because it's a good place where I can keep my foot elevated. I feel like I'm doing 99% of my life here on the couch.
I was kidding with Karen yesterday about, you know, I know you and we talk often, and I said, Jason is biting at the bit to be healed. He's like, though he loves to read, it's like he's getting tired of reading and texting and Facebook posting and looking at the TV. He just wants to be out and about and be well. But God has been using this time to not only slow you down, but to increase your prayer time, your prayer for others, your prayers to glorify Him and to see what He has in store for you in the days ahead. So life lessons are kind of learned on the couch, huh?
Yeah, there are some. I don't know that I would think that we men could use it as an excuse to as to why we can sit on the couch longer. You know, your wife says, what are you doing? Just sitting there. I'm learning a life lesson, honey.
Yeah.
Because I fear she'll teach you a life lesson in that moment.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump back into our book of Acts, written and penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Dr. Luke. We've been going through it these past 6 or 7 weeks on Fridays, typically. Thank you, God, for your gift of teaching, Jason, and how He's just encouraged you to study and read and read and reread the book of Acts so that we can kind of glean some of the things that God has taught you and yet also find points of application for our own life. And I believe we're going to be in verses 4 and 5, so I'll read Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you know, Jesus in John chapter 16 told the disciples that they were going to receive this gift. You know, he told the disciples that he was leaving and somebody was coming, this counselor, this gift from God, this Holy Spirit was going to come and was going to lead them and guide them and remind them. You know, I often think that there are people who would probably say, well, you know, why are you guys going through the book of Acts? And number one, why are you going through the book of Acts? And number two, why are you going to be going through the book of Acts for the next, you know, 5 or 6 years?
Yes.
But you know what? I always want to go back. I always want to root people in because 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and those kids who have attended Awana and know Awana know this verse by heart, but it says, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. And so who do we show ourselves to be approved to when we study Scripture? Well, we're approving ourselves to God, not to man. It's not who's the smartest guy on the block. It's who's the most obedient to learning God's word. And why do we want to learn God's word? Because, well, God's word tells us that we're to be a light to our community, a light to our family, a light to our nation. But how can we know how to be a light if we don't know how to shine? And God's word tells us how to shine. And it says that by learning God's word, we don't need to be ashamed, and we can correctly handle the word of truth. You know, later on in Scripture, in Matthew 13:52, it says that Jesus says to his disciples, therefore, every teacher of the law, so every teacher of God's teaching, who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven, in God's kingdom, is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And we talked on one of our past teachings that this word new treasures, this isn't new as in unblemished, new as in the new car you get in and you smell the leather and the interior and the upholstery, new as in shiny. This is new as in unknown. It's the Greek word krinos. So Jesus is saying there are things in the Scriptures that are unknown to you, that only God can reveal to you. You know, even though Jesus taught his disciples about this gift that was going to come, I bet you it was a bit of a mystery to them. I bet you they were saying, wait a second, what was this gift? I got to imagine there was maybe a moment. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything, and sometimes we can, between the verses, we can find a little bit of something happening. But I wonder if the disciples were, what do you think the gift is? What do you think it is? And, you know, the Old Testament contains some 8,000 promises of God. There's one promise for every three verses in the Old Testament. Yet three times here, three times in one verse, Luke tells us that this one promise is going to encapsulate all the other promises. In fact, so much so that Jesus simply calls it the promise of God, the promise of the Father, the gift my Father has promised you. And it wasn't something that his Father had promised him since John chapter 16. It was actually something, because we know of all these promises in the Old Testament, it's something that had been promised to the people of God for a long, long time. It was something that God had promised to his people. You know, that we have all these messianic promises, these things that point towards Christ coming. And those are all God preparing his people for this amazing moment when he was going to come down, put skin on, walk amongst us and touch us. And then here, getting ready to ascend from us. But he wouldn't leave us alone. Remember, he said, I won't leave you or forsake you. So we knew that when he left, someone else had to come because he wasn't going to leave us. And so he sends this gift, the promise of God, the Holy Spirit.
And I wonder how much they could have really even understood, because there were occasional occurrences where the Holy Spirit was like upon Saul or others, but it wasn't like how we experience the Holy Spirit today, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, if we look at it, the way that it works is the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody in a moment of need or to empower them for work that God had called them to do, but then the Holy Spirit would then lift off of them. So Holy Spirit came upon Samson, you know, and it says in that amazing part that he tore a lion in two like one would tear a little goat. I've never even torn apart a little goat, so I don't even know what it means to tear apart a little goat, but he tore apart a lion. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him again when he toppled over those pillars, and that he did much more in his death than he ever did in his life. But here, now in the New Testament, things have changed. This Spirit is not going to come upon us and then leave us. The Spirit is going to come upon us and then rest deeply and richly inside of us. that we weren't going to be left or forsaken, but that God was going to be with us always by his Spirit. Hmm. You know, I often joke, I probably have joked many times in the program, Jesus said, I'm sending you the counselor, because we're people who are in sorely need of counseling. We need counseling, and we don't need just counseling once a week for an hour. We need counseling 24 hours a day, because it says in Jeremiah, the human heart is deceitful above all else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need the Holy Spirit to help us, the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, the Holy Spirit to point and guide us, the Holy Spirit to illuminate, reveal, and show us. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, I got to imagine what, I wonder what Bible reading would be like.
Hmm.
You know, we'd read and we'd go, oh, you know, this happened. Oh, yeah, this happened. Oh, yeah, this happened. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that as we read the Bible, you know, the words are jumping off the page. It becomes living and active and breathing. The revelation that God gives through his Spirit to us, you know, our heart begins to go. I don't think it's a natural thing for you to read the Bible and ask the questions that we ask as we read it, and to see the things that we see when we read it, or feel the things. I mean, there is an experience so unique to reading the Bible that I don't think people find when they read a Tom Clancy novel or they read a Stephen King novel or whatever the flavor of book is that you might read. Mm-hmm. I don't think people have those same feelings. I've seen people read the Bible and be brought to tears. I've read the Bible and had moments of great fear and trepidation, and had moments of great sorrow and moments of great joy and happiness. And I've read the same verse and felt all those feelings at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt that in any other thing. I mean, the Bible moves us like nothing else.
And we might want to point out or qualify it, especially for the followers of Jesus that have asked the Holy Spirit to abide in them, that have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior and Lord, that have said, Jesus, forgive me. I recognize you are the only way I can have a relationship with Almighty God. And so, therefore, then empowered with the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody that's just scanning the dial that's saying, hey, I've looked at the Bible and it didn't speak to me in that way. It's because they have not entered into that relationship with Jesus where they were given the Holy Spirit, right?
I would think that too, and I would also think that sometimes we, as a culture, take it upon ourselves to know instead of to take that humble position and ask. I spend an inordinate amount of my Bible and study time asking questions. I read a Bible passage, I'm like, God, what are you saying here? God, why does it say this word one time? God, why does it say this word three times? God, why do you repeat yourself in this passage? I mean, I'm asking God questions, almost like my kids do. You know, like when your kids walk in the room and they're like, Dad, can I, Dad, can I, Dad, can I, Dad, can I? I mean, my Bible study time is like that. I'm asking the Father over and over again, Dad, what does this mean? Dad, why is the sky blue? Dad, why is this happening? Why? I'm asking God the Father, my Dad in heaven, over and over again for his revelation as I read his Scripture. I'm leaning into him, not in my own understanding, because on my own, I'm hopelessly lost. I'm guided by this heart that Jeremiah said, as I already told you, is deceitful. I mean, I'm by this heart that's got a bad navigation system. But you know what? Thank you, Jesus, that he, through his sanctifying work, has given me a new navigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but he supercharged it with the Holy Spirit, so that it's not just like I've got the compass. I mean, I've got the top-of-the-line GPS model that speaks to me and tells me which ways to go. But you know what? I think as believers and followers of Christ, there are some of us who have turned that off. You know, the Apostle Paul referenced that as falling asleep. He said there are some of you who have fallen asleep and need to be woken up. And I think some of us have taken that GPS unit and we've turned it off. And we need to turn it back on, start asking questions, start having a conversation. God is a gentleman. And when you stop asking, he says, okay, let's see how this goes for you.
Hmm.
Let's see how this works for you. You know, and at some point we arrive at a position where we go, Lord, Lord. And he goes, I've been here all the time. You know, it's like the old Footprints in the Sand poem, you know, where he says, Lord, where were you? And he goes, I was the one carrying you.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, God is right there. And so here Jesus is saying this gift is going to be coming, this gift from the Father, this three promises in one verse is going to come. You know, and most of the disciples were from Galilee. Most of the disciples, in fact, all of them were from a region up there in northern Israel in the Galilee. And given the events of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, there was a lot of tension in Jerusalem. There was a lot of tension surrounding these disciples and these followers of Jesus. I mean, that's the reason Peter denied Jesus, wasn't it? Because there was so much tension in that moment, and that tension just didn't alleviate itself. That tension was present. There was 120 followers of Jesus at this point. There was tension from the Romans, from the Jews, and so there was every inkling, I got to think, in these disciples' body was to get out of town. You know what I mean? From a purely human inclination, when you enter into an uncomfortable situation, Mark, isn't the first thing you think about is, how do I get out of this?
Hmm. Help.
You know, how do I get out? Like, where's the trap door? Where's the, you know, oh, I suddenly have a cough. I need to leave. You know what I mean? We want to get out, or we don't want to talk about it. We want to sweep it under the rug. We want to walk out, walk away, instead of standing and facing it. You know, I think that that's why, honestly, as a pastor, I could say we have so many problems in our churches is because we've grown as followers of Christ to be passive-aggressive. We'll find out later in the book of Acts, chapter 4, that the believers pray for boldness. They pray for the opportunity to be bold not only to the world outside, but to each other, to be able to not have any barriers between them. And we'll also find, as we study the book of Acts, when there are barriers between the believers, they don't see it as an inconvenience. They don't see it as a problem. They see their problems as opportunities to grow together. They don't go, oh, my gosh, we have a real issue with these people over here. I mean, these people, maybe they just shouldn't even be here. They don't say that. They go, you know what, this is a great opportunity for us to become even closer in the body. Hmm. So instead of walking out and walking away, they want to face it. I mean, I think about the last disagreement that I had with somebody, you know, and just my own wanting to be like, you know, I just wish this would go away. I just wish this would go away. And I wished it would go away almost more than I wished I would have the boldness to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think that we have to, as Christ followers, understand that we have to stand in the midst of tension and frustration. Jesus said when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you who are in this place, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He said, blessed are you who are persecuted for me. I mean, that's a place of discomfort to be persecuted. And Jesus said, you're blessed by being there. And I wonder if the disciples remembered that here, or if this was one of the teachings over these 40 days that Jesus was teaching about the fullness of the kingdom of God that he reminded them of. You guys are blessed right now. You guys are blessed that you're standing in this place because it means you're following me. And so Jesus tells them to wait. He says, but wait for the gift my Father's promised. He says, do not leave. Running away is not an option. And running away is not an option because you don't have to. You don't have to run away. You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit with you. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, on this side of the cross, we have such a different understanding than these disciples. And these disciples in this moment were probably like, oh my gosh, what do we do? But us on the other side of the cross, we look at this and we go, we have the Holy Spirit. We can stand in the midst of discomfort. We can stand in the midst of persecution. We can stand in the midst of frustration and tension and anxiety and know that we can lean more into the Holy Spirit, and he'll provide for us what we need today.
Mm. And I like what you're saying, because in that verse 4, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. It wasn't like he made this suggestion or he said, hey, guys, just hang around here. He gave them a command to stay.
Yeah, isn't that true? Isn't that true? I mean, he said, you don't go. He basically, it was the command, the order. I mean, it came from the top of the chain. Don't go.
Yeah.
You wait. And I got to think they were like, man, we just want to get out of here. And I think for us as Christians, I mean, this is why we need to read God's word, because it says, study yourself to show thyself approved. Approved to who? To God. Well, how do we show ourselves approved to God? It's how we act and react in situations that are not good, situations that are uncomfortable. Look at every single one of us would love to live on the top of the mountain 24 hours a day where blessings flow and we're in the land of milk and honey. But the truth is, as Christians, we probably spend a lot more time in the valley than we do on top of the hill. And it's in the valley, I think, where the truth about who we are, the truth of how approved we are, comes out.
Mm.
You know, and so God is saying, look it, remember. And they had all these teachings. I mean, Jesus is teaching them. We know from the road to Emmaus, Jesus is walking his followers through the Old Testament. So he's teaching them all these life lessons through the people of God as they follow God through the Old Testament. And so Jesus is saying, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take, and you can stand because I'm with you. And by the way, when I leave, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And it's an amazing moment in the life of the church, and it's an amazing moment that speaks to us today and lets us know how we ought to act as Christ followers. We shouldn't run. We shouldn't, with tough and divisive issues, with things like that, we shouldn't run or hide or hope that we never have to talk about them. Instead, we should welcome the conversation as an opportunity not to divide, but to unite.
And to lean heavily into the Holy Spirit that'll guide us through these difficult conflicts and bring clarity and holiness and the proper way to respond by His empowerment.
Yeah, totally. And again, on this side of the cross, we're not waiting for the gift to come. The gift has already come here. Any one of us who has accepted Christ and given our lives to Christ. We've taken that Jeremiah deceitful heart and handed it to Jesus, and Jesus has renewed and given us a new heart. Each one of us has the Spirit. And if we don't, if that isn't true, and I wanted to clarify something for people here today, is that this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this coming of the Holy Spirit where He fills you richly and deeply, is not some future date. It's today. It's the day you accepted Christ into your life. Because if that's not true, if the moment you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell inside of you, then Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 isn't true, where it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Hmm. And that verse tells us that if we are in Christ, then the Spirit of God lives in us. It's not for some future date. That's Pharisee talk. The Pharisees would say that. The kingdom of God is somewhere over there, and keep working hard. Maybe you'll get there soon. Hmm. That's not the truth of that. The Spirit of God lives richly and deeply inside of those who have accepted Christ into their life.
Oh, Jason, so true. Thank you, God, that you've provided the Holy Spirit as we've asked Jesus Christ into our heart, that we can walk with this counselor, this part of the triune Godhead that will enlighten our minds and hearts to your scripture, that will help facilitate prayer, that is accessible day and night, and helps us, Father God, speak to you when we don't even have the words. So what a great gift. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for being available on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
Well, SR News won't wait, as you know. Gotta go. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.